This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما تلك بيمينك يا موسى قال هي عصاي أتوكأ عليها وأهش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى قال ألقها يا موسى فألقاها فإذا هي حية تسعى قال خذها ولا تخف سنعيدها سيرتها الأولى واضمم يدك إلى جناحك تخرج بيضاء من غير سوء آية أخرى لنريك من آياتنا الكبرى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واجعل لي وزيرا من أهلي هارون أخي اشدد به أزري وأشركه في أمري كي نسبحك كثيرا ونذكرك كثيرا إنك كنت بنا بصيرا.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We left off at إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى. Now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam a number of different pieces of advice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now takes it to another angle of conversation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Musa alayhi salam a question which to him is already obvious, which to Allah is already obvious. Allah says, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What do you happen to have in your right hand, O Musa? Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Musa alayhi salam to look at whatever is in his right hand and observe it carefully and know exactly what it is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to do something with whatever happens to be within his right hand. So He tells him to look at that carefully, even though when a person is holding something, if I hold this for example, if I hold the Mus'haf, I know what's in my hand, right? But if I haven't seen that object within my hand for a prolonged period of time, it is possible that I may have forgotten. It is possible that I may be like, well, here it is, right? Sometimes people take their glasses, put it on top of their heads and look all around, right? So they're looking for their glasses even though they're right on top of their heads. Now when they find them, they, oh, right over here, this is the glasses, right? So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, look at your hand, what's in there? So he looks at it, now he's observed it, he knows exactly what it is. And Musa alayhi salam takes this opportunity. He knows he's talking to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And indeed, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an opportunity. So when you're whenever a person is talking to a person of status who holds a status in society and b also within the heart of this person as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest status in the entire universe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest status in the entire existence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the existence itself as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest status, period. And Allah has a great status in the Prophet Musa alayhi salam's heart as well, in the heart of Prophet Musa alayhi salam as well, because he is in fact a prophet. He's a chosen messenger of Allah. He's min ulil azmi min ar-rusul, the powerful amongst the messengers, right? So definitely he has a great status in the Prophet's heart, in Musa alayhi salam's heart. In fact, he has a single greatest status that is within the heart of Musa alayhi salam. So immediately, Musa alayhi salam took the same opportunity that any of us would take with those who we hold dear to us, who have a great status within our hearts, to prolong the conversation. So he says, قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. He could just simply say, هِيَ عَصَايَ. This is my stick. But he makes a long story out of it. He says, قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. This is right here, just this is my stick. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. What do I do? I rely upon this. I lean upon this stick. You know how sometimes people have a stick upon which they lean? Right? So Musa alayhi salam has the stick, he uses it to lean on it as well. Alright? And that's why you see sometimes people of piety, they hold the stick with them, perhaps they're taking it from here, that Musa alayhi salam was using the stick to also rely upon as well. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. Right? He relies upon it as well. وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي. And what do? I also use it to lean, or I also use it to bring down the trees and the branches, or shake the branches, so the leaves fall, so that my ghanam, my sheep and my livestock can have something to eat. They can graze upon the leaves that fall off of the tree. So he uses it for two purposes. A, he uses it to lean upon it. B, he also uses it to take the tree and bring the branches down so the livestock can feed, or shake the tree so that the leaves fall, and then he can eat from the leaves of this tree. وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي. And also I shake the tree so the leaves fall. So my ghanam, my livestock can go ahead and eat from it, graze from it. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. And there's many other things that I also have, and many other purposes that I also have for this stick. Now the answer was, what's in your right hand? The question was, what's in your right hand? Musa alayhi salam gave a very, very long story in terms of the answers. And he didn't stop at the two reasons or the two purposes that he has for this particular stick. He said, I have many other things that I do with it as well, hoping that Allah would ask him, what are those other things as well? And now you have to notice here, Allah already knows all of this. Allah already knows the purpose of the stick that Musa alayhi salam uses it for, all the purposes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring his attention. When Allah is asking a question, it's not because he doesn't know. He's asking so that he may bring his attention to the stick, because something serious is about to happen to the stick. So the other ma'arib, the other reasons or the other purposes of behind the stick included that if Musa alayhi salam is attacked by an animal or something, or he sees an animal that he wishes to shoo off, he'll use the stick to sort of move it away and so forth. He would also use it, as the books of tafsir have it, also use it to carry his belongings as well, right? You've seen in those cartoons and sometimes movies and so on and so forth, someone has a stick and on top of the stick they wrap up a cloth, and in that cloth they have their provision and their belongings and so forth, and they put it on their back like this and it's hanging in the back, right? So Musa alayhi salam is said to have been using the stick also to carry his belongings around as well, right? وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. There's many other things that I do with this stick as well. قَالَ أَلْقِيهَا. So it's a versatile stick. Now it becomes even more versatile. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ أَلْقِيهَا. He says that Allah said, throw this stick on the floor, O Musa. Throw it on the floor, O Musa. فَأَلْقَاهَا. In the next verse Allah says, now Musa alayhi salam, he threw the stick down. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسَعَى. Then suddenly the stick ended up becoming a hayya. So Musa alayhi salam took the stick and he threw the stick just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had requested from him. And he said, قَالَ أَلْقِيهَا يَا مُوسَىٰ. O Musa, throw this particular stick of yours. So Musa alayhi salam, he conformed to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He threw his stick. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسَعَى. Then suddenly it became a snake that was moving really, really fast. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this snake, that basically this stick which by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became into a snake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in three different ways in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it a hayya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it a thu'ban as well. فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانُ مُبِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls it a jan as well, right? So the first description is hayya, that's the one we have over here. And the reason why I call it first is because it kind of encompasses both other descriptions as well, thu'ban and also jan as well. To understand this, we have to understand the meaning of each of them. Thu'ban is this really large, grand snake, okay? And jan happens to be a small snake, A very small but agile snake, fast snake, okay? And hayya is a general term which is inclusive of all forms of snakes, period, right? So you have these anacondas and you have these little guys that just go and move really fast and so on and so forth. And then you have another type of snakes you have another word for snakes, which is the word snake itself, and that is general. It is inclusive of anacondas and it's inclusive of these little skinny little fast snakes and agile snakes as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it with all three words. Now the question is, what is meant from all of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to establish a number of different qualities for this snake. Allah wants to tell us, the readers of the Qur'an and the learners of the Qur'an and those who look into the Book of Allah and the miracles of the Book of Allah, that it is a thu'ban in terms of the size that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this snake into. So it was just a stick, Allah transformed it into a serious sized snake. And that's why this snake, in another event that Allah describes also in the Qur'an as well, it ended up eating alive all of the other snakes of the Sahara, of the magicians, right? So this is a very large snake in that way. And number two, it is like a jann in that it is very agile. Okay, it is like a small snake in that it's very agile, not in size. And last but not least, Allah calls it a hayya, which is a quality which encompasses both thuban and jann at the same time. فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى قَالَ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ. He said, خُذْهَا, take it. وَلَا تَخَفْ. And don't be fearful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam, go ahead and grab your stick, even though it looks to you like a snake right now, and it seems to be something that you should be afraid of, and move away from it, and so on and so forth. Don't worry, this is by our leave that this is occurring, and it is by our miracle that this is occurring. So go ahead and grab that snake, right? Now, to describe exactly how he did it, you see the stick of Musa alayhi salam had a long trunk, okay? But at the top of the stick, there was two branches almost, or two branching little sticks, if you so please, right? And such a stick can actually be more useful because you can actually, it's almost like a spoon, right? You can use it even more easily to sort of do what Musa alayhi salam used to do with the stick, and that would be shaking the branches so that the leaves fall and other things that he would do, right? So the way he would hold it is, he would hold it between the two branches. That's how he'd hold it. And if you notice even today, when people actually want to use a stick to lean upon as they get older, they have something similar to the same sort of stick that Musa alayhi salam had, and that would be a stick that has two branches branching off from the actual trunk, from the actual main part of the stick that they would lean upon, right? And that is where they hold it with their hands like this. Okay? So Musa alayhi salam is then told to go ahead and grab the snake in the same way. It is said in the books of history that the snake had his mouth open and he was told to go and put his hand right into the mouth of the snake, because that the mouth itself came about from the two branches of the stick that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transformed into this snake. So Musa alayhi salam, just as he would otherwise hold it between the branches, he was told to also hold between the mouth of the snake as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but this is how the books of tafsir describe it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and he says, فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسَعَى قَالْ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ. Go ahead and grab it and don't be afraid of it. سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَةً هَلْ أُولَى. We will go and transform it back to, and revert it back to, and change it back to its original state as well. i.e. it will go back to being a snake. It will go back to being a stick. وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَى جَنَاحِكَ. And go ahead also and take your hand and place it, take your right hand and place it on your side as well. تخرج بيضاء من غير سوء آية أخرى. When you take your hand and you place it on your side, under your armpit, it will suddenly come out بيضاء. When you take it out of there, it will become white. من غير سوء. However, this whiteness will be without any سوء, without any harm that will occur to you. آية أخرى. And this is another sign from Allah Azza wa Jal as well. This is another ayah a sign of Allah Azza wa Jal as well for you, right? Messengers are granted ayat, they're granted signs, so that people may believe in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we recite. So there are ayat of Allah that we recite, verses of Allah that we recite, which in and of itself are signs because they're so powerful. And similarly, there are ayat that are physical signs of Allah Azza wa Jal that are given to the messengers as well. And those ayat help us believe in the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Just as the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation also help us bring us back to the belief in the ayat of revelation as well, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salam, he says, وَاضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَى جَنَاحِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ. Go ahead and place your hand over here, it'll come out white, مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ, without any harm to your skin. Because you know, if your skin suddenly became white, you'll think that this is some sort of disease that has come about on you and you have to go to the doctor, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already tells Musa alayhi salam, that's not the case, you don't have to worry, there's no doctor that you have to worry about over here. You are simply going to have this as a sign for you. Ayatan ukhra. And this is what the scholars of rhetoric call ihtiras. Okay? And that is basically a way to ward off any doubts that can occur because of a statement that you made. You make a statement, but hang on, this statement can also mean this, and it can mean that, it can mean this and that as well. You tell of a story, and that story can be translated this way, and that way, and that way. So as soon as you start putting a number of, putting a clause in or another and so forth, as soon as you start doing that, that right there is a very, very rhetorically powerful instrument, because you are already warding off all other possibilities. You're narrowing it down to the actual meaning behind which, because of which you ended up reporting the story, or because of which you ended up making that statement. So Allah did just that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warded off a doubt that can occur because of skin becoming white. And that is the doubt of what? That is the doubt of a sickness, leprosies, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continued. He said, لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَىٰ. We're doing this, i.e. we're making your stick into a snake, and we're doing this, i.e. we are taking your hand and transforming into white, as opposed to the Arabian complexion that you already have, right? Musa alayhi salam has a sort of Arabian complexion towards the white, but an Arabian complexion nonetheless. So to become suddenly white, that is unusual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we're doing this so that it may happen to be a sign for you. لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَىٰ. We're collecting all of these signs for you so that we may show you the greatest of our signs for your prophethood, which prove your prophethood. So we may show you the greatest of our proofs that prove your prophethood. Allah continued and He said, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ. Actually, before I move on to the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He tells us of the hand becoming white. But the historians also tell us that when he would put the hand back and do the same move again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do, then the hand would suddenly go back to its original state as well. So it wasn't a sickness, it was actually a sign that when the hand would go below the armpit and he would pull it out, it's white, and then again, it would then become his natural complexion again. Allah continues and He says, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing the real reason for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this entire story. And that is the story of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam with Fir'aun. And this also consoles the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Because remember, in the beginning of the surah we described that the people of Quraysh, they started to cast doubt upon the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ, because he was busy with ibadah, he was busy with calling, and apparently you could not see great signs of the effect of the da'wah in Makkah. By this time, this surah is revealed in the year 4 or 5, after the revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ, right? By this time you couldn't see too much of an impact of the call. So they said, you know, Allah has simply revealed the Qur'an to you so that you may go through distress and misery, right? So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show the Prophet Muhammad that other prophets went through a very difficult time as well. So this is a way to console the Prophet ﷺ. So he says, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. Go to Fir'aun, for verily he has become tyrannical. قَالَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh my Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quoting Musa alayhi salam, as in Musa alayhi salam said, رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh my Lord, open my chest for me. Oh my Lord, increase, make my chest vast for me. And what that means is, it's metaphorical, and it actually means, oh Allah, allow for these difficulties that I am faced by. Allow for the difficult, daunting challenge of meeting Fir'aun head to head, face to face, and so on and so forth. With this da'wah that you're giving me, with this call that you're making me present before him, with this message that you've given to me, allow my chest to be vast for me to bear the difficulties that will come my direction. Allow my chest to be vast for the evil way in which people may retaliate. Allow me to be, you know, open-hearted. Allow me to have a big heart. Allow me to have space within this heart of mine so that I may bear all those difficulties. So that I may be able to persevere through all those challenges. So that I may be able to uphold the quality and the wisdom and the beautiful character of patience and so on and so forth in the face of trials, right? رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Open up my chest for me. So this is a dua that we can all make as well. And before my durus, I always make this dua. رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, open my chest up for me. Right? Because there's some things you have to, when you're giving the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's difficulties that come your way from directions that you did not even perceive. And sometimes from the closest of those that happen to be towards you, right? They end up turning upon against you and so on and so forth. So this is a dua that he made. رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Musa alayhi salam, right from the very beginning. Oh Allah, allow my chest to be vast enough for me to bear these difficulties. Right? وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And we can make this particular dua as well. In whatever we do within our lives. Because you need to have a big heart for you to be able to bear the difficulties that may be coming towards you from your own relatives. Right? Sometimes you may be annoyed by something that one of your relatives is doing. You may be finding, you know, discomfort in one of your close family relatives. Perhaps your spouse as well. Perhaps your children as well. So if you have a big heart, you can bear all those pains, right? All those difficulties don't no longer seem like difficulties anymore when you have a big heart. So let's make dua altogether that, oh Allah, expand our hearts for us. رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And make my affair easy for me. There's difficulties that will come your way when you call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, when you just try to live the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will start calling you an extremist. People will start saying, granting you different titles that you actually do not deserve. People will start thinking you're backwards, saying you're backwards, and perhaps even acting in a way where they clearly make you feel like you happen to be backwards and so on and so forth, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make all of those affairs easy for you. Perhaps you have been trying all your life to accomplish a certain goal, but every single time you try to do it, there's hurdles in the middle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us upon the tongue of Musa alayhi salam to say, رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Make my heart expand for me. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And make my affairs easy for me, i.e. make other people's hearts also expansive, such that they end up accepting what I'm doing over here. وَحْلُلْ عُقَدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. And this is very important. And also untie the knots from my tongue as well. Because when you call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the greatest things that you can be given is that the knots on your tongues become untied, such that when you call to Allah, your message is actually reaches the hearts. It actually becomes delivered. It actually reaches the destination that you're trying to make it reach. It actually gets through the mind, processes through the mind. It goes through the ears, it processes through the ears, and actually reaches the heart as well. So it's baligh, it is very eloquent, such that it yablughul qalb, it reaches all the way to the heart, right? That is al-kalam al-baligh. So Musa alayhi salam said, وَحْلُ الْعُقَدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. Untie the knots from my tongue as well, right? Musa alayhi salam, what had happened was, when he was young, he was sitting, of course he grew up in the mansions and the palaces of Fir'aun, right? And a part of that story, inshaAllah, we'll mention later on within this particular surah as well. Okay? So Musa alayhi salam grew up in the situation where he is before the tyrant, living within the house of this tyrant, right? And what even though Fir'aun had great love for Musa, Musa alayhi salam was extremely beautiful, you know, child, and very, very pleasant child to be around. So Fir'aun fell in great love with this particular child, right? Even though he would slaughter all the other children, Musa alayhi salam, he did not do that to him. But what happened was Musa alayhi salam started playing with the beard of Fir'aun, which had some sort of, which had something tied within it. So when he pulled it, a couple of hairs, or maybe a lot of hairs, pulled out of the beard of Fir'aun, right? Now when he did that, Fir'aun became really angry. Already he was afraid that there's going to be a child amongst the Israelites who will be born, and when he is born, this particular child will pretty much destroy my entire kingdom. So when he saw this, he thought that perhaps this is that child, even though I thought he wasn't, perhaps this is the, in fact that child, right? So he wanted to basically kill Musa alayhi salam as well. Now, at that moment, the wife of Fir'aun, she had the idea. She said, no, he's a child. He doesn't know the difference between pearls, and he doesn't know the difference between, you know, anything else as well, right? So what they did at that point is, they brought a piece of coal that was burning, and they brought some pearls and they put them side by side, or jewels and they put them side by side. Because Fir'aun is saying, no, he's trying to take the jewels off of my beard, right? Because this is how much his heart is attached to the dunya, right? But his wife is saying, no, he's just a child, he can't differentiate between coal, he can't differentiate between jewels and so on and so forth. So when he grabbed your beard, it didn't have anything to do with your kingdom. It's simply something he was doing as a child, and which is true. Likely he was just doing something as a child. So when they put the jewels and the coals over there in the little basket or the bucket or whatever else, and a burning coal that is, Musa alayhi salam ended up going for the coal this time. So he brought that coal close to his mouth, and a little bit of that coal touched his tongue and burnt it. Okay? So of course at that point he chucked it away, or they took it away, and so on and so forth. So this left a bit of an uqdah. It left a bit of a knot in his tongue, meaning he couldn't express himself absolutely clearly, because the tongue, this particular thing happened to the tongue. However, when Musa alayhi salam made this dua, وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي, go ahead and untie the knot from my tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did just that. He accepted the call and the dua of Musa alayhi salam. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, making all of this dua so that they may understand my statement. Now the story we gave, this is reported in the books of tafsir, and likely it is from the traditions of the Israelites, and we report these. We don't deny them, we don't reject them, and we don't necessarily accept them as well, but we definitely can report them as well. In fact, on that note, my master's thesis was in fact on the subject of reports that come from the Israeli tradition, the Judeo-Christian tradition, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued, he said, وَحْلُ الْعُقَدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, they will understand my statement. وَاجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي, and make for me a wazir, make for me a minister from amongst your families, from amongst my family, right? Make for me a minister from my family. Why is he saying this? This is very powerful over here. He's making a dua for even his family members to be involved, right? Nowadays, people, when they get some sort of khayr, when they get some sort of position, the first people that they end up trying to outcast from their lives is the family members. Because they know that the family members have a certain, certain dues upon them, right? Certain duties and certain obligations that they have to fulfill towards their family members, right? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, who happens to be, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most worthy of my good companionship? So the Prophet sallallahu said, your mother. So then he was asked again, who happens to be the most worthy of my good companionship? The Prophet sallallahu said, your mother again. Then the Sahabi asked him again, who happens to be after that? The Prophet sallallahu said, your mother. And then he said, your father. And then he said, ثُمَّ أَدْنَاكَ أَدْنَاكَ,
then those who happen to be the closest to you, and then those who happen to be the closest to you. So the closest of us, they happen to have certain, we are obliged to take care of them, we are obliged to be their caretakers, we are obliged to look after them, and so on and so forth. In our times, and in every single time, those who do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first people they outcast are the closest family members, because they fear from them in ways that they don't fear from people who are outside of the family. Because those who are close to you, they know the ins and the outs of your life. They know how you were raised up. They know what you did to become who you became. They know all of the things about you. So that your seerah, your life is not hidden from these people. And that's why people try to push these people out of their lives as best they can. Musa alayhi salam, when he's given prophethood, what does he say? وَاجْعَلِّي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. From my family, O Allah, give me a minister who will look after my affairs as well. Now, look at the way Musa alayhi salam is addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you are trying to sort of negotiate with someone, we're trying to sort of not be direct about it, but then eventually get cut to the chase as well. Some people are extremely explicit and direct. Other people, they're not extremely explicit and direct. Let's say you work in a company and you want to hire someone, right? And you say to your boss, you know, I was considering bringing somebody else in, and you say, oh, we need something like this. I have an idea. What do you think about so-and-so? And that so-and-so happens to be your relative. You don't expressively say it right away, right? So, and if that relative is really close to you, you don't mention their name, right? Immediately. So, you start off with certain muqaddimat. You start off with certain prefaces. Musa alayhi salam did just that. He wants a family member, but he doesn't mention the name. He starts off by saying, وَجْعَلِّي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. And you know, bring me a minister from my family. And who's that minister that I'm referring to? Harun akhi, perhaps. Harun, who happens to be my brother. أُشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي. Strengthen my back with him. Or strengthen my affair with him. Azr literally means your back. As in this, your spine, your strength, your ability to be able to continue your call and your message and your task. And so on and so forth, metaphorically speaking, analogically speaking, right? Allegorically speaking, rather. So he says, "Ushdud bihi azri," strengthen my affair. Azr literally means your back, but it is referring to, allegorically, it's referring to just generally his affairs, his ability to do things. Because when there's two of you, you will be able to do more than one. Two minds are better than one. Two people can do more of a task than just one person. If one person is doing every single thing, of course there's going to be certain problems. But if there's a couple of people, they'll be able to handle the task in a better way. So he says just that. Bring another person into my call as well. Right? And this is also a message to those people who want to call to Allah. Musa alayhi salam is looking for another da'iyah basically. He's looking for another caller. He's not trying to just have the limelight for himself and have the call all to himself and have all the virtues all for himself. He knows the task is huge. I can't handle it all by myself. So, ushtud bihi azri. Bring me someone else. Let it be my family member. Because of course, you want the khair for your family members first and foremost. And then he says, strengthen my call with him because he knows he can't do it all by himself. Then he continues and he says, wa ashrikhu fi amri. Not just strengthen him, make him a minister, rather give him a portion of my matter as well. What's that matter? Musa alayhi salam has been given prophethood. Right at the top of the page, Allah said, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. I have chosen you, O Prophet Musa alayhi salam. I have chosen you for the message. I've given you the prophethood. I've given you the message as well. So you now are a messenger. So Musa alayhi salam doesn't want the message all to himself. He wants it for Harun alayhi salam as well. So he says, وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. So go ahead and give him a portion of this matter that you have given me as well. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا. So that we may be able to glorify you a lot. وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. So that we may be able to call out to you. So that we may be able to remember you as well a lot. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. You are all watching. You are ever watching over us, O Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. So Musa alayhi salam wants another person who can help him in his call. Musa alayhi salam wants the khair for other people as well. If he wants to go and give the call himself, he wants his brother to give the call as well. If he wants to, if he has been granted prophethood, he wishes that his brother is also granted this prophethood. If he's been get granted the ability to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been granted the ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct way and to glorify Allah in the correct way. He wants his brother to be doing that as well. So our religion is all about sharing. Right? Right from the beginning of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this ethic of sharing. When He says, اِهْدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, He tells us to say, guide us to the straight path. So we all want guidance, not just for ourselves, but we want it for all of us, right? This is a message for all of us. This is a message for students of knowledge. This is a message for scholars as well. This is a message, it can be extended to other scopes of life as well, but it is directly related to these two scopes because that's what Musa alayhi salam is talking about. He's talking about da'wah and prophethood. So in our context, it is da'wah literally, and also the ilm that we seek. So we have to ensure that knowledge that we have, we don't try to hoard it to ourselves. Rather, we allow other people to come in and benefit from this knowledge. Rather, we share that knowledge with other people as well. And also, those people who share knowledge, they don't just try to hoard all the limelight to themselves. Rather, everyone should get a portion of it, right? Because we can't do this all by ourselves. There's no one man show in this. Even the prophets knew that. That there's no one man show in this. That there has to be more than one prophet in order for the da'wah to be complete, in order for the call to reach all of humanity. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. Indeed, you, O Allah, are ever watching over us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding that Allah is ever watching and always watching. جزاكم الله خيرًا for listening. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.